Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from Christ Jesus our Lord. The portion of God's word we'll be meditating on tonight comes from Malachi chapter 3, verse 1, where there God gives his people a promise 400 years before Christ. See, I will send my messenger who will prepare the way before me. Then suddenly the Lord you are seeking will come to his temple. The messenger of the covenant whom you desire will come. These words. During my grade school years, my particular class had two distinct reputations. On the one hand, we were known as the scholars, and on the other hand, we were known as the troublemakers. And we were split almost right down the middle. About half of us wanted to do everything we could to see if we could get a 4.0, while the other half wanted to do everything we could to see what we could get away with. And it was interesting over the years going classroom to classroom to see each teacher figure this out on their own. It usually happened during the month of August or September during one of the first study halls, when a teacher would have a break in the action from teaching and would go run an errand like print off copies in the office and leave us alone for a little bit. And that's when our class showed our true colors. The troublemakers would jump up on top of their desks, pull out their spitball shooters, crawl underneath their classrooms or their classmates' desks, and have one of their cronies stand by the door to see if their teacher was coming back. All the while, the scholars were sitting there getting more and more frustrated because their classmates were disrupting their studies. All they wanted was for their teacher to come back and put their classmates in line. Maybe you've been a part of a similar situation like that. Maybe it's been at work when your boss or manager leaves the workers, or maybe it's at home when the kids are left alone when mom and dad are running errands. When the one in authority leaves, a typical result is that rebellion, and from that frustration is a result. And that's what was happening with the people of Israel during the time of the prophet Malachi. About 1,000 years before the prophet Malachi, God had rescued his people from slavery in Egypt. And at that time, he was present among his people in such a vivid and intimate way. He had performed miracles by the hand of Moses. He had led his people with a pillar of fire by night and a pillar of cloud by day. And he struck down the wicked before the people to testify that he punishes sin. But as the years went on, God wasn't working the same way as he used to. He wasn't active in that way. And so now the people at the time of Malachi took that to mean that God was no longer present among them. And so rebellion and frustration was a result. Some of the people rebelled against God because they took his absence or supposed absence as a free pass to sin. Malachi tells us of how they disregarded God's commands and his sacrificial codes that he had given them, and they disregarded God's commands concerning his holy institution of marriage. All the while, the other Israelites grew frustrated with God because he wasn't punishing their fellow Israelites like they thought he should. Pastor Ungemach read a passage before of what God says to the people. He says, by saying, all who do evil are good in the eyes of the Lord, and he is pleased with them, or where is the God of justice? They wanted God to strike down the sinful right then and right there, but he wasn't. So they grew frustrated. And we could look at this scene of the nation of Israel, and we could think to ourselves, well, obviously God is going to strike down the rebellious and he's going to shun the frustrated for questioning his authority. But he doesn't. Instead, our gracious and compassionate God gives them promises. Promises of both law and promises of gospel. Promises that point to the past and promises that point to the future. So he starts in chapter 1 by reminding the people of what he does with sinful man when he disobeys him. He tells them of what he did with the descendants of Esau. He said, "Yet I have loved Jacob, but Esau I have hated. And I have turned his mountains into a wasteland and left his inheritance to the jackals." God clearly is communicating to the Israelites that he punishes sin, and his track record proves it. So if they thought that they would get away with their wickedness unscathed, they had to think again. So he's turning them from their sin, but at the same time, right after, he comforts them with a promise for the future, a promise of a Savior, when he said, "Then suddenly the Lord you are seeking will come to his temple. The messenger of the covenant whom you desire will come." God had made a promise to Adam and Eve in the garden. He had made a promise to Abraham. He had made a promise to David that he would save the world from their sins, that he would save them from their sins of rebellion and frustration. And here God tells them, "I will fulfill and keep my promise. I will send a Savior." It's important for us to note that Malachi was the last prophet in the Old Testament that we know of. So during the time of Malachi, more than any other place in the history of Old Testament Israel, the advent of the Lord, the coming of the Messiah, was close. The advent of our Lord was at hand. And that gives us reason to focus on these words tonight, because tonight, Advent is at hand in two ways. First, Advent is at hand, obviously, because we're about to celebrate the first Advent of our Lord next week. We're in the last week of Advent tonight. And secondly, it's important for us to focus on these words because the second Advent of our Lord, Judgment Day, is always at hand. Because you and I do not know the day or the hour. It will come like a thief in the night. So each and every day of our lives, Advent is at hand. And like it was for the Old Testament Israelites, as we wait for our Lord, the common result is rebellion and frustration. I don't think any of you were led to church tonight in your car by a pillar of fire. I don't think any of you have seen someone struck down dead in their tracks because of their sin by God Himself. And I haven't heard anything from my parents that messengers and prophets here in Antioch are performing miracles in front of you. And sometimes we can actually take that, or our sinful nature takes that, to mean that God isn't really active in our lives. And so our sinful nature takes that to be a free pass to sin, to say one thing and yet do another. Because after all, our sinful nature tells us, God isn't coming back today. But remember what he did to the Old Testament Israelites, how he fulfilled his promise of judging sin. God's track record proves that he punishes sin. And that should also speak to our frustration also. When we cry out to God, "Why aren't you doing anything about the wickedness in this world? Why aren't you doing anything to hypocrites in the church who blatantly sin and they care nothing of it?" There too, God gives us his promises. And as he turns us from our sin, he also comforts us with his promises of the gospel. Later on in chapter 3, Malachi tells us of the day of the Lord, Judgment Day. And on that day, he tells us, or God tells us of believers, they will be mine. In the day when I make up my treasured possession, I will spare them. Just as in compassion, a man spares his son who serves him. And you will see again the distinction between those who serve God and those who do not. Brothers and sisters, if you doubt at all that God will fulfill his promise of giving you deliverance from sin and life everlasting on the last day, well, then go back to his promise of a Savior that he fulfilled after the prophet Malachi. When God sent his son Jesus for the first time to be a messenger of the covenant, to fulfill the promise he had made to Adam and Eve, to fulfill the promise he had made with Abraham of a descendant who would bless all nations, the promise he made to David of a king who would sit on his eternal throne. This Christmas season, we celebrate our Lord's coming, when God sent his son, born of a woman, born under law, to redeem those under the law, that you and I might have full rights of sons. We take this as fact because God says so. And as we focus on the advent, the second advent of our Lord on Judgment Day, and we sit here in waiting, we ask the question, what are we to do? Well, to keep it simple, God tells us tonight in his word to cling to his promises. Why? Because you have a God who never fails in keeping his promise. His track record proves it. Amen.